Good morning, everyone. Thanks, Jerry. So I'm really happy to be here to tell you about the U.S. government's global food security research strategy. And this is what I plan to cover today. I want to tell you about the evidence and learning that shaped our thinking in developing the global food security research strategy. Then I'll quickly tell you, although I cannot really go into the details of what the research themes are in the research strategy, how we're implementing them through the program areas. And then I will spend the last few minutes of this talk focusing on the opportunities that can be offered by cutting-edge technologies in genomics by increasing genetic gains. So we heard from Rob, who eloquently described the challenges that we're facing with hunger and undernutrition. And we heard about the three strategies, the objectives of the global food security strategy, which are sustainable and inclusive, ag-led economic growth, strengthened resilience of households and communities, and improved nutrition, especially for women and children. So research plays a very critical component, a very critical role in the GFSS. So we know that we start here at the point at the bottom where we know some of the challenges that need to be addressed in order to get to the impact that we want to achieve through the objectives. And this is where research comes in. Research provides new discoveries and innovations to address the current as well as anticipated challenges that threaten global food security. So I'm going to now go into the evidence of what makes, in terms of pathways that, what has worked in terms of providing the greatest impact. And what I'm going to cover here are a summary, highlights from a study that was conducted by Carl Prey and his team, Ayub and Will Masters. And they showed, first of all, that agricultural R&D investments continue to deliver the highest rates of return. That's an average rate of return of 30% to 40%. And the main driver of those impacts come from ag productivity. And the agriculture productivity impacts poverty, nutrition, and resilience. So in terms of poverty, the pathway is through increased yields that lead to increased production, increased income, and it impacts reduced inequality. Nutrition, the impacts to nutrition come through increased supply and lower cost of food relative to poor people's incomes. At least that's in the literature, but now there are more research that can be brought to bear in addressing nutrition. And then through resilience, we heard from Rob that it is important to ensure stable yield production for smallholder farmers. And that can be provided by providing seeds that have biotic and that have resistance or tolerance to biotic and abiotic stresses. Impacts also come from food markets and other services and policies to reduce vulnerability. So this slide shows a pathway from research to impact. And the impact that comes from research really comes from the use and dissemination, the scaling and adoption of those technologies generated from research. So it is very important that we strengthen the linkage between research and scaling. so that those technologies get to the intended users. And then we also need to take into consideration the socioeconomic factors and policies in an enabling environment that promote adoption of technologies, of new technologies especially, by smallholder farmers. And so the research strategy has three high-level themes that I'm now going to describe to you, and I'm going to show you that each of those themes really tries to cover the three high-level objectives of ag productivity, resilience, and nutrition. So the first theme focuses on advancing the productivity frontier. So examples of research issues here include increasing genetic yield potential of crops, livestock, as well as fish, looking at sustainable intensification of production systems, which we will hear more from Vara, improving the nutritional quality of food and feed. Now on the off-farm issues, there are ways to add post-harvest value to agricultural products. And then policies are very important. Policies to increase food system productivity. The second theme focuses on reducing, managing, and mitigating risk to promote resilience. So the resilience, as Rob pointed out, has become an important emphasis now in developing, in development, because the gains that we make in development can be easily undone by crises that include weather shocks, political turmoil, and other crises. And what happens is that without resilience, people, the most vulnerable people, are kept in a cycle of poverty, hunger, and undernutrition. And that's what we want to be able to do, to actually lift people out of those conditions. So the left panel shows you the cost of poverty sliding, backsliding, in some countries where we work in. And you can see that at the bottom in rural Ethiopia, the percentage of households that backslide into poverty can be as high as 60%. The right panel shows you an example that's based on data obtained from lowland Ethiopia during the El Nino-induced drought in 2015, 2016, and you will see that the top are households in communities that were reached by comprehensive resilience programs, and they were able to maintain their economic status. On the other hand, the blue line shows you what happened to those households that were not reached by those by the resilience programming. They quickly slid back into poverty and food insecurity. And Rob showed an example, for example, of just using drought-tolerant maize hybrids and what it has done for those smallholder farmers. So the third theme focuses on improved knowledge of how to achieve human outcomes. So while the first two strategies, the first two themes, were focusing on developing technologies and new practices, the third theme focuses on generating evidence that will help us in making better programming decisions on how to sustainably and equitably improve economic opportunity, nutrition, and resilience for the poorest households. So these examples of research issues are policies and approaches that promote equitable distribution of development benefits across, especially among the disadvantaged groups, understanding the socioeconomic factors that affect decision making among smallholder farmers. What makes them be willing to adopt new technologies, for example? And then a component of the third theme is also research that looks at the link between agriculture and nutrition. So we have now seen that we have these three research themes to reach the overarching goal, and they are productivity, resilience, and human outcomes. And so there are four building blocks that will now contribute, that will become the foundation of achieving the three objectives, and they include crop improvement, animal source foods, which also includes animal health, sustainable intensification, and then nutrition and food safety. I will not go much into details into these four program areas because the speakers that follow me will discuss more about this. But what I want to focus more in the next few slides is the opportunity that can be, that is offered by science in increasing genetic gains. And genetic gains, it simply means the year-on-year progress in performance of breeding lines. And why should we care about increasing genetic gains? So this is a slide that shows you the projected demand for food by 2050. And this is the extrapolation of current trends. The genetic gain right now is about 1%. And you see the gap here. You see the gap right there. But then when there are problems that come from diseases, pests, and climate change-induced stresses, then the trend goes even lower. So this is what it is going to be. So it's the potential loss of yield could be as much as 20% due to climate change. So there will be a need to increase genetic gain to come up to this level. And how is increase in genetic gains achieved? So basically, that's done by the selection of the best genotypic combinations. You know, so you make crosses in a breeding cycle, you select the best genotypes that can be forwarded to the next generation. And in the evaluation process, breeders typically would evaluate for several traits, you know, so abiotic stresses, disease, and pest resistance. In the case of wheat, that's wheat quality. And in each of these cases, sometimes you have to grow the plant to maturity and then get the data and then grow them again, select your best plants and then do the other selection. So this is the breeding cycle could be very long. And that's because the selection is done based on phenotypes, which is a long and arduous process. It's time intensive. And so this is where genomic selection, the use of genomics can help us in shortening this cycle. So genomic selection is the prediction of total genetic value using dense genome-wide markers. So you start with the markers and then end with phenotypes for a training set. You're able to come up with a prediction model. So now with that prediction model, you can predict phenotypes based on genotypes. So the effect is that genomic selection can reduce the cycle time because progeny do not need to be field tested every cycle. And increased selection can also, selection intensity can also be achieved by the ability to genotype more entries than can be phenotyped. And so just to give an example for wheat quality, this is just, I'm not going to go through the table, but what I want to highlight here is this study from Battenfelder et al., where they use genomic selection to select for traits, several components of wheat quality based on DNA markers. And by the ability to genotype more entries than can be phenotyped, they expect to achieve a gain of 1.3 to 2.5 times more over phenotypic selection alone. And so with the volume of data that are now becoming available, what can happen is that our ability to predict genotypes more accurately increases. So that comes from more DNA markers, more phenotypic data from multiple environments, and this is where low-cost, high-throughput phenotyping technologies can really make a difference. Other data, such as pedigree, historical phenotypic information, and additional information that comes from functional genomics. So what this does is that one of the promises of genomic selection is that you will be able to predict the best genotypes in an environment that was not previously tested. And Cross et al. Actually demonstrated this. They showed that they were able to predict with good accuracy the performance of 1,000 wheat lines in India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh based only on performance data from Mexico. So just using that data from Mexico, they were able to predict the best lines that would perform in these countries in South Asia. And they also showed that when they used markers plus pedigree and other information, that they obtained more better accuracy than the accuracy of phenotypic selection alone that was being done in CIMIT. So that means that, so to me this is a very exciting time because it tells us that the combination of all these cutting-edge technologies offered by genomics, phenomics, and computer algorithms to make sense of big data really will create a new era in breeding. So just to conclude, research plays a critical role in the global food security strategy. The research strategy brings to bear the best that science has to offer in addressing challenges and achieving the goals of ag-led economic growth, strengthened resilience, and improved nutrition. And researchers are very important partners in the implementation of the research strategy. So I thought I'd just mention that there are forthcoming RFAs that I want people to be aware of. They will be coming out in the next 6 months. One of those is the Feed the Future Legumes Innovation Lab. Another is a Feed the Future Fish Innovation Lab. And so both of those will really be looking at ways to address the three objectives. And then the innovation labs that are awarded issue competitive calls for sub-awards. So those are going on almost the whole year from different innovation labs. So competitive calls for sub-awards. And where they can be found are in grants.gov and Feed the Future has website. If you go to the research link, you will find the ongoing, the open calls. So that's all, and thank you so much.